invite the Holy Spirit just to cover this time. Lord God, we just come before you. We bless your holy name. And we thank you, Lord. Thank you for your presence here. We pray your anointing upon our children's church teachers, upon our nursery, Lord, upon the youth, and Lord, upon the message today, that the words that I share would be not for me only, but be directed by your Holy Spirit, Lord, for the building up, the edification, and the equipping of the saints. We are thankful to you, Lord God, because with all that's going on in this world, the violence, Lord, and the things that our people are saying, Lord, that, Lord, you're the answer. You are the answer. It is only through you, Lord, that we would be able to navigate our way through this world and have eternal life when we meet you. Lord, I pray that people's hearts would open in our community, that people's hearts would open, that we speak to at our workplace and our families, Lord God, before it's too late, Lord. Because we know that you're coming back. And we want to be ready for that. We want our friends and our family, Lord, to meet you as well. Oh, Lord, bless our time, we pray. In the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Well, we're in our series, Decisions That Matter. It is a series through the book of Proverbs, not chapter by chapter, but subject by subject. And this morning we're talking about marriage. And as I mentioned, there will be a scripture that will be, let's say, a little bit explicit. Normally I don't share those often, but I think that we need to understand what is important, what God sees as important about marriage. Amen. Men and women are designed differently. I don't know if you knew that, but men and women are different. Is that a revelation? And we look at ourselves, and I mean more than just the outside, and it's more than just hormones. In fact, there's the most recent scientific studies that just came out last year by a number of scientists have discovered that there are, at a minimum, 6,500 genetic differences between men and women. It determines everything from how we store fat, how our brains are wired together, everything. In fact, did you know that, ladies, you can perceive more colors, more variances in colors than we can as guys? You know that? That's why I'm always asking my daughter-in-law, does that look okay? Does that look right? Ask my wife, does that look okay? I can't tell. There are even, they found that the two hemispheres of a woman's brain are both active at the same time, while men kind of use one, you know, one compartment, another compartment. And that's not saying anything, it's just a different way of processing information. We are so different from one another. And I was thinking about that, wow. He's designed us so uniquely, and he designed us to be lifelong companions from the very beginning with Adam and Eve. And he created us, and what did he say? He said, this is good, and he created us, and he said, it was very good. So we were very good, but then Genesis tells us that we fell into sin. We call that sin. The fall of man is the terminology. We rebelled against God, and we said, we don't want to do it your way. And in Genesis, it says that for a man, you'll rule over her, and then it says your desire will be for your husband. And in the Hebrew, when you read into that, what it means is that God's saying, because of sin, because of your rebellion, men and women are going to have a power struggle. They're going to have a power struggle with each other. So you see that today, do you not? You see even some activist groups that they want to just, you know, eliminate the idea of gender altogether. And what does all this stuff come from? Well, we didn't want to do it God's way, and he said, okay. But we continue to go in that direction. It doesn't serve us well, but God has Even if we've fallen into sin, God has a way for us back. He has a way for us to make marriage work. Even if there's a struggle, even if there's a power struggle between men and women, we can make it work. And I want to talk to you about three things today. I want to talk to you about the fear of God. And when I say fear of God, it's just what it means, fear of God. People don't fear God today, right? Do you think people fear God today? No. How many of you guys think people in general fear the Lord? They don't. It's just like the Talmud judges. So we need to talk about that in relation to marriage. The other thing is faithfulness in marriage, faithfulness to our spouse. And then the third thing you really want to talk about is just being friends. There's so much advice out there. And I can give you anecdote after anecdote, but what I really want to do is just kind of focus in on some of these core principles. And let's look at the scripture. Let's look at these two. Psalm 112:1 says, "Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments." Proverbs 31:30 says, "Now, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised." You have to understand that the way Proverbs is written, it's often in the context of advice being given to a young man about searching out, you know, being on the straight path, searching out to find a wife. And Proverbs 31 is often, it's a mother's advice. It's not a father's, it's a mother's advice to a young man, to a king, basically, about who to look for in a wife. And it says, "Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised." There's a lot in there. Charm and beauty alone is not a foundation for a lasting marriage. Now, beauty is kind of self-explanatory, right? I mean, we know, okay, physical beauty, and isn't that how the world is? The world looks at physical beauty. We see Hollywood promotes that, and we have our young daughters that they see all this stuff on TV, and oh, I want to look like her. You know, Disney does a great job of that, right? Oh, I want to look like that. I want to look like her. And they present this model of what physical beauty should be. And it's unfortunate because, what often in older women they look at what is presented as this perfect picture is really not the realistic view of how most women are, right? And so it's vain, though. It's only surface. It's not a foundation for marriage alone. Sure, there'll be an attraction, a spark. What is charm? What do you think charm is? Charming. What is being charming? Charm is deceitful. In other words, it's like when you go out on a date. Are you who you really are? Or are you trying to be somebody you're not? Or you're putting on your best behavior, right? You're putting on your best self. You're trying to charm the person. You're trying to woo them or make them think, hey, you're a great catch. And you got to raise one eyebrow like this. No, I'm just kidding. But this charm is deceitful, right? Charm is basically you're not being real. You're not being that person who God made you to be. You're being different, which is good. It's a lot better, I think, rather than out of the gate for young people dating. I think it's better that they get together in groups. You get together in a group of friends, and you begin to see who people really are. You see the real personality come out. But it's a charm, you know, and it only lasts for a while. And that might be who you really are, but you get married, right? And then what's the question I always hear? What happened to the person I married? They're different. They act different. They're all nice to me, and let's go out to dinner here, and let's do that. And then we got married, and all of a sudden, I got my trophy, right? And we get comfortable with each other, right? And so we get comfortable. And I think that sometimes we neglect the people that are closest to us, unfortunately. because we get comfortable. It's okay to be comfortable. But don't forget, that's the one you married. That's the one you love. A good friend of my dad's who passed away in his 90s, his whole life, I mean, they were in their 60s, 70s, his whole life, he referred to his wife, Edith, as my bride. This is my bride, Edith. I always was impressed with that. I thought, wow. But charm and beauty alone, it's not going to be enough. A husband or wife who fears the Lord, though, that's important. And the reason being is that when you fear God, that means that God is more important than your husband. God is more important than your wife. God is more important than your kids. God's more important than any other relationship on this planet. And because he's important, you care more about what he thinks than what anybody else thinks. Now, when God is in that position, you win and everybody around you wins. When God is not in the position of first, he's not in first position, nobody wins. Right? Because when you fear the Lord, you're going, oh, yeah, it doesn't say in 1 Peter that, you know, I'm not going to get my prayers answered if I mistreat my wife. It does say that, husbands. And so we know that we want to please God, then we're going to treat our husband, our wife, the way that God would want us to treat them, right? Jesus was a servant leader, and men were supposed to be like Christ. That's a tall order. Well, she didn't marry me. She didn't marry Jesus. It's like, yeah. But we're to be like Christ and just be humble, serve, right? But if we fear God, if we actually believe that what we do in this life really counts for something, that when we come before the Lord, that we're going to come before the judgment seat of Christ, even as believers in Christ, and he's going to look at what we did. We think, if we know that, and we believe that, we're going to live differently. Amen? You guys are real quiet. Now, I was thinking about, when I thought about, you know, a woman who fears the Lord, and again, I don't want to put my wife up on a pedestal, but like, she's the most beautiful person in the world, to me. She is. I love her with all my heart. I remember something that impressed me more, struck me more than her beauty, was early, back in, was it 97 we met, and I needed a host for a small group. And I went to the Hotel Kapolei and I met her there. And she opened her house and she eventually started our children's church. And she was part of our planting team. I baptized her kids. We became good friends. And I would, in that small group, I would give her advice. And in those days, I counseled a lot of people that were single, people that were recently divorced. Most of them were women that would they'd come into the church, and I would tell them, I'd say, look, don't jump into a relationship right away, because what's going to happen is rather than filling your life with Jesus, you're going to fill your life with that other person. They're going to disappoint you, because I hate to break it to you, but they're not Jesus. And what's going to happen is you're just going to take whatever baggage or whatever things in your own life that you need to work on. You're not going to know what needs to be worked on because you're going to cover it in another relationship. Does that make sense? And so when you're out of that relationship, you have to have that one-on-one with God. And I would see so many women, they just go, yeah, Pastor Dave. And then boom, there's one guy after another guy after another guy. You're not going to find what you're looking for. But one of the ladies that did take my advice was Tammy. I was like, and it impressed me because I watched her grow in the fear of the Lord. And I saw, I mean, I'm reading this in scripture, and she doesn't look at herself this way. She's very humble, but I watched her grow in the Lord. And when she would do the hula, I'd never seen this before I moved to Hawaii. And when I saw her do hula to Christian music, it was as if no one else was in the room but her and God. And she would just be looking at him, and I could feel a presence in the room. And I thought, oh my gosh, this woman really fears the Lord. You know, this woman is in love with Jesus. That's who, you know. And later on, obviously, you know, we've been together 17 and a half years, praise the Lord. But that will create a foundation for a long marriage, 20, 30, 40 years. If you just base it on charm, and good, you know, basically just good looks and personality, it's not going to last. But a man or a woman who fears God, they're thinking, I better treat this woman right, or I better treat this guy right, because what? Because God is watching me. Amen? Some of you guys are like, but what about those who, maybe you're in a situation where your husband or wife doesn't know the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 has some advice in there. Basically, if both of you fear God, awesome. But at least if one of you fears the Lord, it says in chapter 7 in 1 Corinthians, it says that you're a sanctifying influence. That's not a saving. You're not saving them, okay? But you're sanctifying. That means set apart. Basically, you're a sanctifying influence. You're a holy influence. You are God's representative. You are God's ambassador in your marriage. No pressure, right? But you are God's ambassador. And so you might be tempted to, and forgive me if you've done this, but you might be tempted to take 3x5 cards and tape them to his forehead so when he wakes up in the morning, there's scripture. Or, you know, you might be tempted to put scripture on the refrigerator or to always have a Christian radio on all the time. And, you might be tempted to do that, thinking that somehow Jesus by osmosis is just going to mesh into them. But it doesn't work that way. We just have to be a humble witness. We just live out our life, just like we talked about with our kids. We just live out our life. And Paul has some words that are kind of, he says, well, who knows if you could save your husband or your wife? Wow, Paul, really? But that's the reality. Some of them, boom, right away. Some of them, it takes like decades. You're wondering, is this ever going to happen? But if you fear the Lord, man, that creates a foundation. Life will go easier for you. It really will in regards to that. Because you're not going to be thinking about how do you answer them? How do you talk back to them? What is your reply going to be? Right? How do I win the argument? Which I'm going to kind of get into. I really believe... let's talk about the explicit part before we even get into the friendship part. Let me read this to you. How many of you guys know it's a good thing, you know, when you're in a covenant, man and woman, this is not, God does not approve of open marriages, polyamory, you know, polygamy, it's just you and your wife or your husband, right? Proverbs 15:15-23 says, drink water from your own cistern, flowing water from your own well. Should your springs be scattered abroad, streams of water in the streets, let them be for yourself alone and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth. A lovely deer, a graceful doe, let her breast fill you at all times with delight. Be intoxicated always in her love. Why should you be intoxicated, my son, with the forbidden woman and embrace the bosom of an adulteress? For a man's ways are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his paths. The iniquities of the wicked ensnare him, and he is held fast in the cords of sin. He dies for lack of discipline, and because of his great folly, he is led astray. How's that? Pretty straightforward, right? Do we need to exposit this line by line? What is he talking about? Drink water from your own cistern. And, of course, the cistern or the fountain, he's saying, hey, Don't be going out and having sex with other people, right? Be faithful in your marriage. And really right now, our culture, our society is awash in immorality. I don't know if you guys notice that, but there, outside this church, there is no advice. You're not going to get any support for what I'm talking about. No one else is going to tell you this is how you should live. Only going to church will you ever receive this advice. Only going to a Bible-believing church will you receive this advice. You go out into this world, and people that don't go to church or they don't have a belief system like you, they're not going to. It's like, yeah, well, okay, you know, don't get caught. Some may say, oh, yeah, I got to stay faithful, but involved in pornography on the side or whatever. And that's not good because Jesus says what? If you lust in your heart, you committed adultery, right? So we need to stay faithful. Why? Well, God says we're his temple. We're bonded with him. In the New Testament, Jesus is actually with us. And if we're going out to a prostitute or we're going out and cheating on our spouse, we're bringing the Lord along with us. And he doesn't like that. He's like, I'm not here for this. What are you doing? You're mine. I bought you with my blood. What are you doing? Right? There's only one woman you should be with. There's only one man you should be with. Amen? And he says, what? The iniquities of the wicked ensnare him. He's held fast in the cords of sin. And think about this, that somebody's, it's like they're bound in, you ever see somebody, you ever go into court, and then somebody comes in shackles? You know, they're handcuffed. I think there's one that goes to the waist of the cuffs, the other, their ankles are shackled. They're ensnared. They can't run. They can't go anywhere. But these cords, this area, probably more than any other, I see the devil using to ensnare people that are in the church. Why isn't the church powerful in America? Why aren't we seeing tons of people get saved? This one area? It's because people are buying the lie. And churches are changing. And people are just going for it. And they don't care about being faithful to one another. Not everybody, but a lot. And it said the water, that your stream should run in the streets. What water runs in the streets? Think for a minute. What, when you see water running in the streets, where does it go? Into the sewer. That's what he's talking about. That's sewer water. What are you doing? When you have this fresh, pure, refreshing fountain, the husband, the wife, the spouse the Lord has given you, but you want the sewer. Because that, where is that going to end? Death. Ends in death. If you read in Proverbs in the beginning, it says, it's like, wow, several chapters. Most of it is on this issue. And I know that, you know, I've talked about a lot in the past, but gang, are we purifying our hearts? Are we staying away? One of the things that, and Paul says this too in 1 Corinthians 7, and then I'll move on from this point, but basically he's saying don't deny yourselves to be together physically. And I know sometimes, you know, we get sick. Sometimes we're just feeling tired. I got a headache, whatever. But gang, you know, if you're married, husbands, wives, don't neglect one another in this area, because there's something that happens when we come together physically. There's a spiritual connection too. I don't quite understand that. I know that in the Hebrew it says to know. It's much more than just a euphemism for sex. There is a deep spiritual connection. There's a bonding that happens. And this is why it hurts so much when there's a breakup or when there is a divorce. And some people, they just go crazy. I can't. Why? Because a bonding has happened on such a level that science cannot measure. It's not chemical, it's spiritual. Their souls have meshed together. The two have become what in Hebrew it says, the one flesh. Guys, don't think, again, it's just a euphemism for sex, or you can just have sex as an activity and it doesn't mean anything. Because what happens is when you're meshed in your one flesh, you're not meant to be pulled apart. Because when you get pulled apart, there's ripping and tearing and it hurts. And then we have what? A broken heart. You understand? And that's why. Says, don't go after the prostitute. Don't go after the adulteress. That's even worse. You go after the adulterous wife. Guess what? She got a husband that's going to come after you. What are you doing? What are you doing? A lot of the stuff, and start with the water cooler conversations at work. Be very careful with that stuff. Very careful. People joke about having a work wife. Don't do it. You know, oh, yeah, we just get along, you know. But first, it's emotional. The physical will follow. Don't fool yourselves. Now, we come together. It's important as much as we're able to. It helps us in our marriage. But most of all, what we really want is friendship. James 3:6. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, stinging the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. My advice, men, women, do not burn your house down with your tongue. Don't burn it down, because we can say things to each other that we're going to regret. Amen? That's the person you married. That's the person you love. They should be your best friend. Proverbs 13:3, whoever guards his mouth preserves his life. Oh, yeah. And won't have to sleep on the couch. I just adding that. He who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. Proverbs 17:27, whoever restrains his words has knowledge. And he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Sometimes, men, it's smart to say nothing. But don't we have these words. We can hurt each other with words, right? And the hurt and the pain and the wounds that come from our words will last longer than a physical wound. And it's really hard to undo that. Now, you might be thinking, man, yeah, but sometimes I get in an argument and she's just wrong. And what are you going to do? How important is you to for you to win? Are you in it to win? Yeah, I want to win this argument. Sometimes it's that. Sometimes you got to take a step back. Don't sin in your anger. So you might be angry, but don't sin by opening your mouth and spelling out a verbal grenade to the middle of the room. I like to time travel. Let me explain. See, I think time travel is the best way to avoid saying things you shouldn't. Now, what do I mean by that? Everybody, every single one here can do time travel. And you don't need a machine. All you need to do is before you're about to open your mouth and say something in the heat of the moment, you need to picture what the next 24 hours is going to look like in your head. You ever see those commercials with a little bubble above the head or the guy, they imagine what's going on? Just imagine 24 hours into the future, travel into the future, and imagine getting the silent treatment, sleeping on the couch, right? Imagine the tears and, oh, I'm trying to figure out how to apologize that they'll accept. And imagine the aftermath of what's going to happen. Then come back into the present moment. Oh, it doesn't take very long and go, ask yourself one question. Is it worth it? Is it worth it? I would say 9 times out of 10, if you can get into the habit of doing a little time travel, you're going to save yourself a lot of headaches. Amen? Because there's a lot of things we say to each other just don't need to be said. There's things that need to be said. Say, I love you. Do you have any more in here? No, that's it. Friendship. A lot of people that are looking for relationships are looking just for sex. But if you want a marriage, and you especially you want to do it God's way, you want to look for a friend, a lifelong companion, someone who gets you, right? And I know sometimes a lot of people, they feel like giving up. Go, man, everybody I find or everybody that I seem to connect with, they just, all they want is one thing. Well, where are you going to find that person? Are you going to a bar? I don't know. Sometimes you'll find them in church too. Don't think that people don't hook up in church. It happens. It shouldn't, but it happens. What do you want to look for? You want to look for a friend. My recommendation, again, getting with groups of friends, going out, seeing people in their environment with their friends. That's how you, and you become their friend, and you get to know them. It's called dating my friends. Well, and eventually, you're going to see how that person is, and then maybe you go out on a separate date. But the thing that you're looking for is not this old-fashioned idea of, okay, I'm going to date, I'm going to do this, going to do this, going to propose. No. What you want to find out is, who is this person really? Who are they really? And can we be friends for life? And I'll tell you, gang, even if you're married already and going, man, I didn't do all that in the beginning, most of us weren't thinking about that. But you know what? If your husband, your wife is with you, look at them right now. Go ahead. Look at your husband. Look at your wife. Yeah. Look at them. Look at them. Say, I love you. Go ahead. Tell them. And you know what? Do that often. Do it often. You know what? And if they're not here today, you know, first thing, when you go home, say, you know what, honey, dear, whatever you want, I love you. Especially if you don't say it often. We need that. We need touch. We need friendship. This is not, say, rocket surgery, it's like mixing metaphors, but this is not rocket science. This is not complicated. But again, just because it's not complicated doesn't mean that it's easy. Because often we neglect the ones we love the most. Because, they'll be there. I get them. They love me. I'm good. They got grace. Well, have a little bit of grace with them. Right? I know, because even for me, even myself, sometimes I can feel myself, maybe I'm hangry. You ever get hangry? It's hungry, angry. When I haven't eaten or whatever, and I don't know, it's my blood sugar or whatever it is, it's just getting a little snappy. And maybe I see something in a snappy way, and I go, oh my gosh, why did I do that? I got to be careful. When you're with somebody 10, 20, 30, 40 years, it's easy to take each other for granted. But let's not do that. So this morning, if I've reminded you of something, awesome. Let's focus on fearing God. Let's focus on faithfulness. And let's focus on being friends with one another. That is the foundation. All the other advice, the techniques and this and that, or the talking stick and hold the talking stick. I don't know if you've seen that. I mean, all this other kind of upper stuff, whatever's. But this is the foundation. that I'm talking about. If you get this right, maybe all that stuff is cool, but this is what you need. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we come before you, and we bless your holy name. And we thank you for marriage. And we thank you for, Lord, you've created us each unique, special, as men and women. Help us to focus in on our true identity, Lord. The identity you have given us to discover ourselves, to discover our spouse. Maybe that person that we've been living with for so many years, God. I pray that we can know them even better. Maybe we think we know them, but can we just know them better, Lord? And Lord, none of us knows how many days we've got left on this earth. Let us not take any day for granted, Lord, but let us just love the people that you put in our life, especially the one that you have blessed us with in companionship all these years, oh Lord. I thank you for husbands and wives that fear the Lord. I thank you for the faithful. I thank you for those that have discovered the truth of friendship. And I pray for those that are looking for that person, God, that they would first rest their hearts in you and make you number one. And Lord, in your time, that you would bring that person, that special person along, that also fears you, and that they would just know without question that you sent them. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. We pray all this in your mighty name, in Jesus' name. Everyone said, God bless you guys. Have a great week.